This is an Amos on the Go podcast. I'm Bill Klaproth, and I'm pleased to welcome with me today Dr. Fred Stevens, chair of the OMSPAC Board of Directors, who is here to discuss political action committees, including OMSPAC, and why organizations engaged in advocacy, such as Amos, believe it's important to have a PAC. Dr. Stevens, welcome.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Great to see you, and thank you so much for your time. So first off, what is your background, and how did you end up on the OMSPAC board?
Well, Bill, it really depends on how far we want to go back, but I'll try to keep it brief. I'm originally from southern Idaho. I grew up on a farm there, but for various reasons, I moved with my family to Seattle, Washington, just before I started high school. In Seattle, I attended the University of Washington for both my undergraduate and degree in dental school, and then moved to Dallas, Texas to begin my residency training. I attended and completed my anesthesia internship and my surgical residency at the University of Texas Health Science Center, Parkland-Moreland, affiliate hospitals. After completing training there, I practiced in Dallas for almost 4 years before we kind of figured out where we're going to go, and we relocated with my wife to Southern California in the Pasadena area. Now, here I established a private practice in South Pasadena, as we call it there, and later added two other offices in the area, but finally moved to a single location in Pasadena and have since been fortunate to succeed in this really pretty competitive LA environment. During this time, I became involved in organized dentistry and oral and maxillofacial surgery and served as the president of the local dental society, and then that progressed on later to the California Association of Oral and Maxillofacial Surgeons, also known as CalAMIS. Through these responsibilities as president, you're kind of thrown into a lot of things, but one of those included advocacy for the state of California, which seemed to naturally lead into advocacy on the national level. So this is how I got to be where I am now. This now kind of culminated in my time on the OMSPAC board, now as chair.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for giving us that history. We love it, Dr. Stevens. So if you can explain to us, just so we all know exactly, what is OMSPAC?
OMSPAC stands for the Oral and Maxillofacial Political Action Committee. It's a federal, nonpartisan political action committee, or PAC, that operates to raise funds to contribute to the election campaigns of federal congressional candidates. As such, it helps protect and promote the specialty's interests by contributing to congressional candidates who understand and support issues of concern to oral and maxillofacial surgeons, or who at least are willing to engage in a meaningful dialogue to learn more about the specialty's role in our nation's healthcare system. OMSPAC activities are performed to support the advocacy goals set by Amos. And as such, OMSPAC is an essential component of Amos's legislative advocacy. OMSPAC, just for your information, is the only PAC that solely represents the interest of oral and maxillofacial surgeons.
So let me ask you this, just so we all have an understanding of this. What is the overall purpose, then, of having a political action committee?
Yeah. A PAC, or a political action committee, it often serves as one of three key elements of advocacy. The other two elements are direct lobbying and grassroots engagement. The PAC itself also supports these other elements in many ways. To put it simply, PACs work to provide financial support to help elect candidates who understand and support the organization's issues, and as I said before, at least are willing to learn about the industry or the organization and their legislative interests. PACs also help foster relationships between the organization and the members of Congress by supporting direct lobbying and grassroots events.
Okay, so that makes sense. So PACs are there to help elect candidates who understand and support the organization's issues. So what do PACs like OMSPAC actually do? How do they operate?
Well, PACs like OMSPAC operate really to primarily pool funds from individuals who have shared similar objectives. These funds are used to support campaigns of like-minded congressional candidates. PACs may also use voluntary contributions to support other advocacy efforts. And for example, in OMSPAC's case, we sponsor the Amos's annual Day on the Hill, which is a grassroots event. This allows us to personally meet and discuss issues of importance with our legislators. Amos's member voluntary contributions are also used to share the costs of Amos's federal lobbyists, who are very important to us and represent us in Washington, D.C. This is an example of direct lobbying.
So, Dr. Stevens, I know there are laws saying what a PAC can and can't do. So how does federal law affect the PAC?
That's a great question. PACs like OMSPAC were established because federal law prohibits organizations and corporations, such as Amos, from directly contributing to federal candidates. As a result, Amos member dues cannot be used to make campaign contributions. Now, on the other hand, federal law permits corporations and associations to establish PACs supported by voluntary contributions from their eligible class of members or employees, and this is to support electoral candidates. There are several types of PACs that are subject to different FEC regulations. OMSPAC is a separate segregated fund, or also known as an SSF PAC, which is commonly referred to as a connected PAC. This is because it is established by and connected with a corporation, labor group, membership organization, or a trade association. PACs like OMSPAC, therefore, can solicit contributions only from individuals associated with the connected, so to speak, or sponsored organization. Those individuals are referred to as the eligible class. OMSPAC's eligible class includes AMIS fellows, members, Royal AMIS members and their families, and certain categories of AMIS employees. One thing to keep in mind, though, that by federal law, OMSPAC cannot solicit or accept contributions from foreign nationals. Now, some PACs also give to both federal and state candidates. OMSPAC typically only supports federal congressional candidates, though. We also do not support presidential candidates.
Okay, that's very interesting. So you said you can only solicit contributions only from individuals associated with the connected or sponsoring organization. So you can't accept contributions from, say, medical device companies, is that right?
That's correct, because they're not that part of that eligible class.
And you're not able to give directly to a candidate's campaign. That's why we see on TV ads saying, this ad sponsored by this PAC. You can support an election, but you can't give directly to the candidate. Is that right?
Correct. That's essentially the PAC's responsibility, is to select candidates who are potentially going to be individuals that will win, first of all, and will also see and associate and support AMIS's advocacy efforts.
So you're helping to get that candidate elected.
That's correct.
Got it. Okay. So you think of AMIS. Why would AMIS need a PAC? So why do groups like AMIS believe it's important to have a PAC?
That's another good question. Large groups of like AMIS really need a strong PAC, unless, of course, oral and maxillary surgeons have no objection to legislators passing laws affecting our ability to practice without asking us or consulting with us first. Maybe to expand on this answer, it's important to remember that Congress consists of, I think, around 535 individuals who come from a vast spectrum of professional fields. They're expected to weigh in on the impact of legislation on many complex issues in which they may have absolutely no expertise.
That's important to remember.
That's correct, yeah. And so as such, they consult with their experts, and they may have experts that are, they're referred to by other individuals, or they may have experts in their respective fields that they know. So therefore, the input from organizations, associations with whom they have personal relationships have been established is important. These relationships are frequently formed as a result of PAC's involvement. When Congress is assessing legislation, for example, related to access to care, Medicare reimbursement, or Medicare expansion, ERISA reform, or small business regulations, I could go on, but OMSPAC works to ensure that members of key congressional committees know how our specialty exists, and it does exist, know its importance in healthcare, and also recognize the expertise AMIS can bring to each of these issues. PAC enables us to meet and develop these sound relationships with our lawmakers so we can educate them about our specialty and our position in healthcare. This allows them to make better legislative decisions. You also might bear in mind that almost every industry or health specialty has a PAC, so there are lots of PACs out there. Each of these PACs has its own agenda, which may compete with ours. So that's why we want to have a congressional ear on this. Each time a contribution is delivered, it provides an opportunity to educate the legislator about the industry and its issues. In OMSPAC's case, that includes the OMS specialty and issues impacting OMS patients and our practice. So really, without a PAC, our voice receives less attention in the legislative process. You know, there's a saying, you can say it different ways, but if you're not the table, you may become the meal. So OMSPAC really encourages OMSs to personally deliver PAC candidate contributions. And again, personally deliver is important. These face-to-face opportunities allow individual oral and maxillofacial surgeons to build long-term relationships with candidates, as well as perhaps share a personal interest or a perspective that potentially can impact the actions of Congress and have a direct impact on our patients and our practices. One final but important point on this topic: it's illegal for PACs to contribute on a quid pro quo basis with the goal of influencing the legislator's vote for or against any particular piece of legislation. So our contributions are given to the legislator or candidate to support the elections only.
Right. That's just what we talked about. There's hundreds of healthcare PACs out there. You're just one of them, and they're all trying to advocate for their position or, as you said earlier, supporting campaigns of like-minded congressional candidates. So that's really important. So it's not that you're out there and nobody else is out there. It's almost you have to have a seat at the table, like you said
right
earlier. Like you said, if you don't have the seat at the table, chances are you're going to become the meal. So then we're talking about supporting candidates. How does OMSPAC determine which candidates to support?
Any OMSPAC member can request an OMSPAC contribution for a candidate. And this frequently comes from personal relationships they may have with a candidate across the country. Now, that doesn't necessarily guarantee it'll be approved, though. These requests for contributions will then go to the OMSPAC board for review. The OMSPAC board then reviews these requests based on criteria such as electoral and legislative viability, past or present healthcare positions, their voting records, relationships with AMIS members, and leadership positions and relevant committee assignments that they might hold. Now, the board, if it's not known, is really comprised of representatives from each of the six AMIS districts. So there's good representation there. And it works with our Washington, D.C. lobbying team and staff, who are very important to this process, to vet all candidates and determine where member funds are best spent. So we're very particular about where those funds go, and we, are always interested in supporting the winners. For if they don't win elections, they don't have any legislative power at all, and they can't be of any benefit to AMIS.
Well, that makes sense.
This is, and again, I'll emphasize this several times, but this is done on a totally nonpartisan basis, and with the sole charge of interest of what is best for the AMIS membership, our patients, and our specialty. If anyone's interested, information on AMIS's contributions to candidates is available to all AMIS members and the public at large. OMSPAC publishes this list on OMSPAC.org, our website, and also in the OMSPAC annual report. It's also available on the Federal Election Commission website.
Okay, so you said that this is done on a totally nonpartisan basis.
Correct.
So how does the OMSPAC board balance the different political perspectives of the AMIS members, especially in these increasingly polarized times that we live in?
Yeah, that's a tough one sometimes. Well, as I've said, OMSPAC is a nonpartisan political action committee. And as such, we look to support congressional lawmakers who will support issues important to AMIS and our specialty. You know, we stay away from other political issues that have no bearing on our goals for AMIS advocacy. So the board does recognize and respect that our AMIS membership has varying beliefs and points of view on many issues, which is certainly common among any large group of people who come from all parts of the country. What really unites us, and hopefully them, however, is our effort to advocate for the specialty and our patients. Nothing more, nothing less. For example, the OMSPAC board was certainly aware about the events on January 6th in 2021. Those events created to a varying degree an increasing uneasiness within our political system. Now, following January 6th, the board did make the decision to pause all candidate contributions to respectfully reflect on the significance of the event of that day. This was done upon the general tone of our members and really had nothing to do with any of the board members' personal biases. Following this decision to pause, though, the OMSPAC board performed a thoughtful review of our candidate contribution guidelines to determine the need for any changes. You know, keeping in mind that OMSPAC is a nonpartisan PAC and doesn't give or deny candidates support based on their party affiliation. So from that, the board determined that we should not use issues unrelated to their specialty as criteria to support or not support an individual candidate. Our members may have different political perspectives, but as a board, we agree on protecting and empowering our profession and that the patients and those patients that we serve, that's really our focus. As such, OMSPAC continues to consider support for legislators who are willing to meaningfully consider AMIS's concerns and those who are champions for the specialty and our patients and who have the ability to be effective legislators. This specifically means that we did not consider, in this case, any lawmakers involved with the January 6th occurrence to have any bearing on our decision for support.
So you're specifically talking about congressmen and women and senators, is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you for explaining that. I'm sure that's a question you get a lot, especially in, again, these politically charged times. Are you donating to candidates who feel this way or that way? So thank you for explaining that.
Well, I know that was a long answer, but hopefully it was clear.
Well, there's a lot there, and there's a lot of minefields and landmines along the way, so it's good to be open and honest with the communication on why you choose to support candidates or not, so that makes sense. So can you tell us a little bit about your own experience with Amos Advocacy?
I've been directly involved in Amos Advocacy with our PAC since 2015. That's about 7 years now. For several years prior, I was involved through grassroots events such as our Day on the Hill event. I went to that several times prior. Since then, I've had the opportunity to meet with a number of congressional lawmakers and to develop some personal relationships with them. This has really allowed me to educate these legislators about our specialty and its importance in our healthcare system. As a result of developing these relationships, it's also kind of neat to be able to call your representative on their cell phone and discuss issues, you know, when necessary. Having that one-to-one relationship is really kind of nice and allows a lot of interaction personally between yourself and the legislator. Yeah, it gave me a much greater understanding, you know, whether we like it or not, how the legislative process works and why, you know, it can be really so slow at times.
I'm sure you kind of at first thought, why does this take so long? And then understanding the process, you go, now I know why it takes
so
long.
You got it.
Wow, yep. That's interesting. So you're the perfect person to ask a question like this. So then what are some of the challenges that Amos PAC faces?
Yeah, I think as with most PACs, I believe it's really promoting participation in the PAC and educating our members or anyone in a PAC of the importance of a legislative advocacy and that importance as to how we practice and live. Amos PAC currently has about 15% participation. I should say only 15%, because in my opinion, this should certainly be much higher given the importance of legislative advocacy to our specialty. Remember, while only a small percentage of OMSs contribute to Amos PAC, all of us benefit from the work that Amos PAC puts out. And ideally, we'd like to see participation from more than 20% of our Amos members to comfortably maintain PAC objectives. So we do need enough in the coffers to gain those objectives.
So when you said you're talking about monetary support contributions from the members is basically what you're saying.
That's correct. Yeah. Having members understand the importance. I know I was not political at one point in time, and I'm not sure I'm that political now, but I've realized through my experiences that it's just something we have to do. For example, you know, my mentor, a well-known individual in oral maxillofacial surgery, Dr. R.B. Walker, he knew the specialty well, and I think he knew the PAC well, and he put it very well. And I'll quote him here. You know, whether we like it or not, legislative affairs impact everything we do in our practices. We must maintain visibility and communication with our legislators, even if you don't necessarily agree with the way it's done in our political system today. That's his quote. So I think that was a very well put summary of what we're trying to do. The Amos PAC board understands that some members may have aversion to the political system in this country. Yeah, there are a lot of reasons for that, probably. But please bear in mind, though, that Amos PAC didn't design the country's legislative process, but it was established really to participate in it, and it will continue to do so to ensure that Amos has a voice in shaping the policies that affect our livelihood. As a reminder, Amos PAC cannot be funded through members' annual dues. As such, it relies solely on voluntary contributions. So, you know, educating our membership, to answer your question, in this concept of what's in it for you is probably the most challenging aspect that faces any PAC, including Amos PAC.
So you said earlier, again, you might not like the political party or the candidate, what the candidate stands for on other issues, but your goal is to elect candidates who understand and support the organization's issues or are at least willing to learn about the industry or organization and their legislative efforts, right?
That's correct.
And that is a big challenge with like you said, members have varying, different viewpoints on many things.
So do I.
So, right. So trying to cut through and say, listen, what they think about this, we're not commenting on that, but they are supportive of our organization. So we have to keep that in mind.
That's the goal.
Right. So obviously being on the board and as long as you have and all the success that you have and experience, what has been the most interesting or eye-opening aspect during your time on the Amos PAC board?
As I said previously, we all have our personal political biases. You know, Amos PAC's charge is to make contributions and relationships, building decisions based upon what is really best for the members of Amos and our patients and our specialty. know, before I was on the OSPAC board, probably like other members, I did not really appreciate this concept as well. And during my 7-year tenure on the OSPAC board, I've been very impressed with the ability of our board to follow our charge and make non-biased and non-partisan decisions. And this is really despite the occasional individual, maybe more than occasional, individual member that pressures sometimes to make choices based on their individual personal political beliefs. Also, I must give a tremendous amount of credit to our support staff and our lobbyists. Previously, I didn't really appreciate how important they were to our daily operations, but without them, we really couldn't function and we wouldn't have the success we've seen. Their knowledge and their institutional knowledge is extremely important to us. As I said, it's a tough question, but these are probably two discoveries that perhaps to me are the most eye-opening aspects during my time on the board. You know, understanding the staff and lobbyists' position in this and understanding the board was such a non-partisan and a board that would make decisions based on what's good for Amos.
Right. So again, politically charged, you're really looking, you have to keep the goal front and center, which is trying to elect politicians who really represent the interests of the oral and maxillofacial surgeon. That's really the goal, regardless of everything else, got to put to the side, but that is...
And also which supports our patients that way, so...
Absolutely. Dr. Stevens, this has really been fascinating and informative hearing your story and what OMSPAC does. Anything else you'd like to add?
I think we've covered a lot of territory here. I want to just extend my thanks for having me on the podcast, and hopefully this will be informative to all our members.
Well, that is the goal. That is for sure. Dr. Stevens, thank you again for your time.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
And once again, that is Dr. Fred Stevens. And to learn more about OMSPAC, please visit OMSPAC.org or contact OMSPAC staff at 800-822-6637. That's 800-822-6637 or OMSPAC, that's OMSPAC, OMSPAC at amos.org. And Amos is AAOMS.org. And for more information in the full podcast library, please visit amos.org. And if you enjoyed this episode, we ask that you please share it on your social media and please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening.